This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know how I'm super obsessed with eating healthy, clean. I'm constantly working out, and Magic Spoon is the best post-workout treat. I am obsessed with it. We're all trying to eat healthy and better, but it doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes, protein powder for years, but finally found the most delicious way to get my protein before and especially after my workouts. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. There's only 140 calories in each serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. You can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors like cocoa, fruity, frosty, peanut butter, which is my absolute favorite, blueberry, and cinnamon. Magic Spoon is bringing back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Yeah,
coming back. Maple waffle is coming back permanently. This is legitimately as excited as I have been in months.
You guys should see
this stuff
right now.
Delicious.
Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code bearwithus, B-A-R-E, at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident, as they should be, in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason whatsoever, they're going to refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/bearwithus and use the code bearwithus, B-A-R-E, to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode of Bear With Us.
What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, I'm not even going to ask you how you are, because judging by your apathetic response to our intro music and the blank stare on your face, something's up. What's the problem?
Well, I was great. I've been in a great mood all day.
I know.
But I'm a little annoyed.
What are you annoyed by?
Because our producer just said that this stuff was going down behind the scenes as far as, you know, like our sponsors and money and this and that. And clearly you already knew about it.
I knew nothing about it. That was literally the first I've heard about it.
Oh, you're going to CC me. He said, I CC'd you.
Right.
So of course you wouldn't. You knew about it.
And I didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it.
He might have just said it 30 seconds ago.
Okay.
I literally have not seen anything. And you.
Okay. If you say so.
You're unbelievable.
All I'm saying is I thought we were like 50-50.
We are 50-50. Actually, we're beyond 50-50. So much so that you now have the majority of the camera, because you were complaining that last week on our YouTube channel, you weren't visible
enough. Okay, you guys, if you go back and look. Okay, I wasn't complaining that I was invisible enough. I was just saying if you looked at the clips, it was you were in it. And it was just like, I was here. I'm like, hey guys, I'm Leah over here.
So I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a couch here.
Right.
And you have the ability to adjust your whereabouts on the couch. You can lean into the mic. You can lean into the shot.
Listen, I'd like to lean stationary this camera right into your fucking face. That's
wow.
What I'd
Why
like
are
to
you
do.
So aggressive and hostile?
I'm not.
All
I'm
of
just
sudden.
Kidding. How are you?
I'm exhausted. Mentally. I am mentally exhausted.
I'm mentally, physically, emotionally exhausted. It's been a crazy week. It's been a lot. There's been a lot happening, but it's been good. All good. You know, I really do believe in the power of manifestation. I created a vision board 2 weeks ago, and a lot of the things I put on the vision board have come to fruition in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
What
now,
did you say?
I think so. I am still trying to figure out the whole vision board thing. I understand manifestation. I know it's something you are really into and yes. You take seriously. And I know you're not alone. I've spoken to actually quite a few people recently since you've been on this kick who are like, oh yeah, I'm really into that. But the vision board to me, what is the purpose of that? I'm asking, right. I'm not judging. I'm not sure. Okay, I understand what it is. It's a piece of cardboard that you glue
here,
things.
Let me go get it. It's literally right behind here.
Good. If you knock over our set, it's going to be problematic. You should put a new house on the vision board or a new office recording space.
This is my vision board. I made this 2 weeks ago.
Wait. Now, I have not looked at this beyond from across the room or what you sent me. A new weekly podcast, because one's
okay,
not enough.
Okay, no, because that wasn't necessarily a new weekly podcast. To me, that was a manifestation for this current podcast to make it into, like, maybe this is a headline somewhere. People will be like, oh my gosh, bear with us, a new weekly podcast, like something that they haven't heard about. I don't mean a new podcast.
Okay, so I asked the question pertains. And then I cut you off. So start this from me.
So for me, I feel like manifestation is so strong. Like, I really, truly believe in it. When it comes to work, when it comes to personal life, when it comes to anything, I feel like if you visualize something and you speak things into existence, I think a vision board is one step beyond that. If you're putting something out there, you're taking the time to like cut clippings and write things out and put it on a vision board. To me, it's a whole other level of manifestation. I'm looking at it. I'm putting it out into the universe physically.
Are you attempting to become Cher?
You're really ruining this.
I'm asking.
This is a good thing. This is
I
really.
I know it's good.
Babe, you're really hurting my feelings.
What? I'm asking.
Asking if I'm trying to become Cher. I f***ing hate you. It's just the overall vibe from Cher. I love her. I think she's a strong, independent woman. There's that quote that she did this famous interview years ago. And they said, you know, she was talking about how her mom told her she needs to marry a rich man. And she said, Mom, I am a rich man. Like, yes, love that big energy coming from her. And I want to emulate that. So that is why Cher is on my vision board.
Okay. I don't know. I thought
you're so rude.
How is it
you're
rude?
Hating on me.
I'm not hating.
You were
on
saying
you.
That to make it funny.
I feel like it was a valid question. Also, I'm very excited that if I ever need a ransom note written, you're gonna be exactly who I come to.
Why?
Never mind. What do you want to talk
what
about
is that
this week,
supposed
baby?
To mean?
A ransom note. You know, like
I know what a ransom note is, so why do you need me to do it? Oh, because I'm good at boards?
I was thinking more of your ability to very tastefully cut clips out of magazines and newspapers.
Man, you're really hating on me. But
I'm not hating on you.
A lot of things since I've done this 2 weeks ago have come to fruition, and I am not even kidding.
I believe
you. One of them
you.
May be a new home we're getting, so there you go.
She's making me live out in the dumpster out back.
Yeah, and you will not have a room in this new home. You can sleep outside with the f***ing dogs. And not Pancake, because he'll be sleeping in our bed.
You're the worst.
But no, I really, I feel good. I feel like the last few weeks I've really been focusing on my manifestation and shit has been happening. I'm all about what you put out into the universe, you get back. So if you're thinking negatively, negative shit is going to happen. If you focus on the negative, negative things happen. If you're looking at the positive, the bright side, the glass half full, shit is going to go well for you. Just going to happen. And it's all about your mindset, how you look at things. You can choose to look at something, like something can happen to the both of us. And you can just be like, oh my God, this is worse. My life is over. This, what, or you can look at it maybe like how I look at it. And I'm not saying a specific example. I'm just giving this as an example for our listeners. We could take the same exact situation. I could say, oh no, I choose to look at this as a way of learning and figuring out why this is happening. So I can, you know, maybe this doesn't happen again in the future. It's all how you look at everything. And you should always look at things with the hat full. I truly believe that. Do you believe that?
I don't.
I've really noticed a difference in you though.
I've made a conscious effort. I am a natural pessimist.
Ugh, I hate that.
Everyone's little ray of pitch black as I've been referred to by my friend, Tom.
You just like that saying. So now you have to act like that forever.
Yeah, that's it. I'm basing my existence off of a phrase that someone used to describe me.
Because you think it's cute and kitschy. So you're like, oh.
Well, it is cute. It's real cute. I might put it on a t-shirt.
Well, I'm just saying.
Hard to be positive when you're going, oh, be positive. I go, I'm trying. You go, no, you're not. You're not positive.
Making fun of my vision board.
I wasn't
so
making
you
fun.
You can dish it up, but you can't take
I
it.
Asked why share.
You looked
share.
At it and you said, it's really funny though. From your perspective, you're looking at this vision board and there's a picture of Cher on it. You're like, what the
I literally just asked you minutes ago to explain the vision board to me. I don't know. I don't
really
get it.
Funny. It's really funny now that I'm like thinking back. That's hilarious.
Okay. Well, now that you're done being offended, what do you want to talk about this week?
Well, it's kind of ties into what we're chatting about right now. I know this podcast, we started out the genesis of this podcast.
You could say the genesis of the existence. It's just a little more wordy than it has to be.
Okay, so let me try this again. I'm
flexing my English muscles at you now.
The genesis of...
The cunning linguist that I am.
The genesis of this podcast started because of the pandemic. We were forced to just be around each other 24/7. We weren't really working as much as we were at one point. And we went from like crazy busy lives, not living together, doing long distance, to now living together in lockdown, no work, no outside stimulus. It was just crazy, right? And that is why we started this podcast, because we felt like we couldn't be the only ones going through that.
Right. We were bored at home like everyone in America and around the globe, and we needed somewhere to channel our creative juices, and that was just being irreverent and saying stupid things in a Instagram live morning show, which evolved into, bear with us, the wildly successful relationship podcast.
Okay, sorry, go.
Do you have like media conglomerate on your vision board? Because we've dove. What's the past tense of dive? We dove in. See, I just made fun. It's karma coming back on me. We dove into the YouTube realm, which is wildly successful. And thank you to everybody who's subscribed. You just spilled your drink on me because you were shaking your for the camera while I'm trying to talk about our podcast. This is a mess.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Oh my God. You taste weird.
I just showered like
almost
20
like a
minutes
lotion
ago.
Or maybe I taste your body.
You know, they call that in some countries soap.
Yeah. I taste your soap.
Irish Spring, baby.
Okay. But long story short, we started this podcast because we felt like, you know, we can be the only ones going through this. And I think it helped us. It was very therapeutic for us to be able to just talk about our issues and all of this stuff that we were dealing with all of a sudden, that we had no idea that this is what was going to happen. And I think it helped. Wouldn't you say it helped us to kind of like get it out every week and talk about our
Week. This is cheaper than therapy. Yeah. This is as therapeutic for us to talk. We always talk about honesty, communication, and sex. This is probably the number one point of our communication. We do make it a point to chat. And even if something's off or wrong, earlier today, I could just tell you just had this way about you. And I was like, something's up, something's bothering you. And we had a discussion, not an argument. It wasn't a fight. It didn't get nasty.
I'm proud of you, because usually that's not how you would handle things. Normally, like when we first started dating, you would take offense to it right away. You would just be on the defense, like, no, deflect. And like, you wouldn't really listen to what I was trying to say, even though I wasn't trying to attack you. But I think you've made so much growth from the beginning of our relationship. You were able to just kind of take everything in, listen to what I was saying, knew I wasn't attacking you or trying to make you feel bad, but I had to explain where I was coming from. And you listened and we chatted about it, and we didn't fight or argue or raise our voices. And that was really good. And I was very proud of your growth.
Oh, well, gee, thanks. But that's kind of where the idea for today's show came from, is that we had to have one of those heart to heart conversations for the first time in a while. Yes. Because the world's getting back to normal. We are on opposing schedules right now. The six of you listening to this who know about our other ventures in life,
our real life job,
our time together went from overabundant to minimal right now. Yes. We're to the point where we have usually a day and a half to 2 days each week where we can just hang out and be us. Yeah. And then you factor in the kids and travel and work. And it's just like we went from 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And even when we went to work, being on the same schedule, yes, to, wow, ships passing in the night. And I hate it. I am having a really freaking hard time with it, just because I yes, it was unfamiliar to just have moved in with you for 3 months and then all of a sudden be spending literally every waking moment in your presence.
Yeah.
I don't regret any of it. I think it made us stronger. I think it did us a lot more good than harm, which I don't imagine most people will say about the pandemic and being locked down. But now the world's getting back to normal. And I am guessing, I am betting, I am hoping that somebody listening to this is experiencing the same sort of thing, because you may not have the same job we have. Likely you don't, but maybe you travel for work. Maybe your husband travels for work. Maybe, you know, maybe you guys both travel and it totally has flipped your world back upside down, back to normalcy. But after a year and a half of not getting to really, you know, travel or live,
going to work, a lot of people are working from home
right
now. Like their schedules are,
people are starting to actually go back into the office.
Yeah, you have to leave the home.
Yeah. So it's definitely a variable, but it's gotten really stressful to me because, well, A, when we were in the pandemic and we were locked down, there wasn't really much going on. To your point, there was no real external stimulation. There were very, very minimal work responsibilities. Right. Obviously, we were lucky enough to still get to work through the entire pandemic. And yes, we did travel to a limited degree, but
we were together.
We were together all the time. And it was like, okay, well, all we really had to focus on was getting through the day.
Yeah.
What are we going to eat? What time do you feel like going to
bed? How many walks should we go on?
Right. Yeah. Let's watch this movie. Let's do this activity. That was kind of the extent of it. And now everything is back. And now it's like, wait a minute. Now I need, and I'm admitting this to you and the world that is listening. I am needy. I have a tendency to be very needy as a partner. And I'm sure you know, and I'm sure you will elaborate on this in moments. But I'm needy when the external world is overwhelming me.
Yeah.
Where I need somebody to vent to. I need somebody to talk me off a ledge. I need somebody to say, hey, Matt, it's really not that big of a deal. And you're amazing at that. And I think that's been one of the reasons why, like, I feel so close and connected to you all the time, because you are, for lack of a better term, like truly my better half. Like when I feel down or something's stressing me out or making me crazy, 99% of the time, you're the one I turn to. And 99% of those times, you're dead on and you go, all right, listen, this is how we're going to fix it. Stop being stupid. You're crazy. Move on. But now the world is back to normal, but I don't get to come home and say, like, every day and say, oh, hey, or when we were working together, we don't get to go back to the hotel or go out for dinner afterwards and go, hey, this
kind
part of my day was
about whatever,
right? Yeah. Just to vent, just to get on the same page. Hey, now it's like, you're trying to play catch up on your side. You want to tell me things. I'm trying to play catch up on my side. And it's just like a traffic jam of stress and ideas and thoughts. And I'm like a basket case these days.
Oh, is this my turn to talk?
Sorry. Yeah, I was.
No, but I think it's good that you can recognize that and admit it. Because if you were not even like admitting that you are needing these things, or you're feeling like a little crazy, not that you're crazy by any means, but you know, sometimes we just go through when it comes to work, or again, the world opening up, we're going from one extreme again now to the other of like traveling maybe once a week or every other week, and now on the road different times. It's just, it's a lot. And I think, for me, it's this weird balance of, you know, I've been very busy with work as well, and trying to focus on work, focus on being a good girlfriend, just in general, focus on, you know, your kids, focus on my family, focus on outside projects I have going on. And then, oh, on top of it, I have to make sure I'm over and above extra there for you, because I know you need it. So sometimes I, like, at least recently, I feel like I'm like spread very thin, trying to make sure everything, like I have like one hand on the water coming through this wall here, and then over there,
it's
there's
like in
a
Vegas
leak,
vacation with the bubble gum.
Yeah, just like sticking it everywhere that there's a hole, and like trying really hard. And that's what our conversation was about today. I feel like I felt like I just needed to talk to you and be like, hey, I know you're not meaning to do this. I know you're not trying to like hurt my feelings or make me feel like I'm spread so thin, but I'm about to lose it if I don't like explain to you how I feel like you're just leaning on me so much. Right. And I'm more than happy to be there for you. Like, it's not like that at all. It's just sometimes I feel like, okay, like I know you really need me, and I'm doing everything in my power that I can to be there for you. But somehow that doesn't feel like enough.
But I think that the conversation today that we had I handled it better than I have in the past. And yes. You also approached it not from a place of anger. Looking back at it now, we can both sort of be honest and look and realize that most of the issues or the issue that we were referencing this morning are more of a direct result of all the other variables.
Right. It has outside nothing to life. Do with us.
It's not like I decided to change my mind and go, oh, you know what? Right. I'm not going to do that for you anymore. Or you went, right. I'm tired of dealing with his shit. It was, oh, we got used to, we were comfortable with, I never had to worry. Like, oh, if I had a bad day, you're right there.
Right.
If I had a crazy travel day and just wanted to come home and drink and raise hell and vent, I knew you were there by my side. So now that based on scheduling alone, our lives are totally opposite again. Yeah. And now it's like, oh man, I almost have to retrain my brain.
Right.
As many people do in many aspects of life. I'm talking just particularly you and me.
Our situation.
Of like pre-pandemic brain.
Right.
Like I have to remember how the hell
what
I
life
did this.
Was like, yeah.
Right. It's a lot. It's like really overwhelming.
To you today, thinking like, okay, think about our life before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Think about our life before we lived together.
Right.
You know, like we were so busy. We had crazy schedules and we didn't even live together. You lived in Connecticut. I lived in Florida and we still made it work.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't want to go back to trying to figure out like scheduling wise, that just sucked, of course. But thinking back, like that's also what life is going to be like now. That's what life is, right? Because we're pretty much back to normal. Like I know like there's certain things that aren't the same, but we're not in the pandemic anymore. It's just a little bit, it's different now. But I will say one thing that I think, like, and I think you would agree on this, I don't know, but when we first got on opposite schedules, I think it really helped us because we worked together all day, every day, entire pandemic, working together, traveling together, doing our podcasts together, with the kids together, like vacationing right. together, all that. It was a lot. And you and I do not fight a lot by any means. I think like I can probably count on one hand, like the amount of big arguments we've ever gotten into.
Right.
But we were getting into quite a few towards the middle end of last year because we worked together all the time. I think we just had opportunities to kind of pick things apart that the other was doing because we had no time away from each other. And I feel like once we started it was like April, we got on different schedules. And we were only apart 2 days a week.
But that's the thing. It was, that was the schedule then was not overwhelming.
Exactly. And it's changing now.
Right.
And I will recognize that. And I do recognize that.
Right.
But my point is when we first finally started getting a little bit of time apart, like I feel this sense of like I'm back to myself almost. Like I kind of got lost in, oh, well, this is how Matt thinks. So that's how I have to think. Oh, Matt thinks this sucks. Well, I guess that sucks. Oh, Matt loves this. I love that too. Do you know what I mean?
That's basically known to most of the world as the right way of thinking.
Shut up. But do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like we were one in the same. We didn't really have independence from each other, which is probably why it was such a shock when we first got on separate schedules, because we were so used to everything being our way. We were in the same routine, the same schedule, everything. And I feel like the last few months I've really been able to come into my own, and our relationship has been amazing. We haven't fought. We look forward to seeing each other. We schedule dates. Our sex is amazing. Like everything is just, and not that nothing was bad about it before, but I feel like those 2 days apart a week, and I'm not saying be apart all the time, but we were together 5 out of 7 days a week. Right. And that to me was like the perfect combination because we got to miss each other a little bit.
Right. Five out of 7 days, I was totally into.
Right. I know
two
now.
And a half out
okay.
of seven.
You feel like you couldn't even listen to what I was going to say because you knew, like, but you know the point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying I want to be apart all the time. I think the 2 days out of the seven it was great for us. Right now, we're on the complete opposite end. So we need to find a happy medium. But I do think a little bit of time apart is good for your relationship. Because if you're just with that person all day, every day, it's no bueno. It's not good.
I agree. But I think we need to find a happier middle ground.
Of course. And
your boy is about to go off the deep end.
Well, please don't do that.
Do you know what else is exacerbating my frustration?
What?
Not as pertains to us, more just post-pandemic life.
What?
I understand that most people have not left their houses for the better part of a year.
Okay.
Everybody seems to have forgotten how to do everything. I have had more road rage in the last 2 weeks than I have in the 20 years that I've been able to drive. Because it's as though everyone went, hey, everybody, we can leave the house. Let's go out. Okay. And then they get on the parkway and they just don't know how to merge. They slow down for no reason. There's just random traffic buildups all over the city. It happened in Texas. It's like, you know what? If you're not prepared mentally to leave your house, stay the fuck in your house. Because those of us who want to go out and enjoy life, you're just gumming it all up. And I'm saying that kindly and respectfully to everybody who's listening, who's like, oh, I just haven't driven in a year. It's very reasonable and logical, but it's sure. Got me all riled
you're
up.
Very
I'm
riled really, up.
I wasn't.
I know.
I started in a very, because I'm listening to you talk about this adjustment and it's just firing me all up.
I know. It is frustrating.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's jump into mailbag.
It's cute though.
It's not cute.
I know how much you love me and I love you, babe. Do you love Cher?
No. That's why I was really concerned about that being a goal of yours.
You don't want me to turn into Cher.
No more than I want to ski into a tree.
So you won't be Sunny.
That was what I was getting at.
I know. So you will or you won't be Sunny?
No, I literally just said, I do not want to ski into a tree.
Well, don't. Just avoid it.
I might get into politics. Bow-bow.
Here's the mail, it never fails, and makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Do we like that?
It was amazing. Best thing you've ever done.
Thank you. Love that. Okay. Question number one, honey. Hey, Leah and Matt. So I've been single for nearly 9 years and I'm only 27. I had one relationship when I was 18 and it was a car crash, really manipulative and just all around. I've done the whole let it come. I've been the one who made the moves first. I've been on apps and all of that. Where do I go from here? I feel like I'm at a point where even if I meet someone, they'll be turned off by my lack of dating history. Help me. P.S. Love you guys and the banter and even the singing. What do you think?
I have never met a person who thought less of somebody that they were romantically interested in because of their lack of dating history. I have experienced and known many people who are intimidated or sometimes straight up grossed out by people's dating history. So you've got that. You got to look at that as a positive. You may not have the street smarts or the experience, so to speak, as far as certain issues, other than what we have armed you with here at Bear With Us. You should be a relationship expert, clearly, as everybody is. But I would not hold that against yourself. And no. I would not think of that as a negative. And you need to be in your right headspace to where you realize what you have to offer whoever your potential partner is. You look at the bright side, and this is going to sound ironic coming from me, the little ray of pitch black, but know what you do best. Know what you have to offer a relationship. I know from the get-go, I always have, I can be funny. I have that going for me.
What? Wait, that's your thing? Is that you're funny?
I can be funny.
What? This is news to me.
Wait.
This is the fun. Oh my God, this is funny.
Wait.
Babe, that is your thing that you're funny?
What do you mean that's my thing?
That's your thing that you bring to the relationship is that you're funny?
I'm talking about getting a date, Leah. You know what? I'm done.
Babe, I'm dying. Okay. I thought we were going to say maybe like you're really smart or, you know, you're sarcastic. Not that you use humor. Oh my God. I love that.
You love what?
That's your thing.
It's not my thing. I'm not like, oh, I'm the funny guy. I'm saying when I'm trying to meet somebody, you included, I happen to remember a certain dinner where I had you laughing hysterically. That's the key. That's the magic. That's the disarm her. right there.
Right.
I can make her laugh. I can be entertaining. Now, if you suck as a person, I'm not going to give you my best. So I'm just telling this young lady who's asking for advice, realize what you do best. If you're funny, if you're smart, if you know everything there is to know in the goddamn universe about dolphins, great. That's unique to you. That's what you have. Put your best foot forward. The person you're dating may not give a shit about dolphins, but maybe, just maybe, you pique some interest in it. And it's not, I can't say this enough. Like, if you walk into this, a potential relationship on a date or however you're communicating, and you're already looking at yourself as though you've got two strikes against yourself, you're not going to get anywhere.
No. Confidence is key. Like, if you're confident and you don't know about whatever they're talking about, who cares? You go into it feeling your best. And I don't think you should worry about trying to force it, trying to find someone. Just let it happen. I know you said that that's what you've done in the past, but it will happen. It will happen for you, but you just can't put so much pressure on yourself to find it. And I agree with Matt that you shouldn't worry so much about your lack of dating history. I think that's okay. I've been in a few relationships in my life, just a few. It doesn't mean that I'm an expert, but that's my history. Everyone has their own history. So maybe you meet someone that also is in the same boat as you, that they've never really been in that many relationships, and you guys can navigate your relationship together.
And take everything day by day and date by date and step by step. Yeah. If you go into meeting a person or you go on a date with somebody and you are thinking from the outset, like, okay, I wonder what our kids are going to look like. I can't wait to get married. I want to know what his 401k looks like. You're setting yourself up to fail. Show up with no intention other than enjoying your time.
Be in the moment.
If you can be present and you can ask questions about the other person and you can speak about yourself and let them know who you are, that's a pretty good recipe. I think we talked about it on one of the first episodes of Bear With Us. People are inclined to like somebody who is a good listener.
Yep.
So if you show up to a date and let them talk about themselves, they automatically are going to go, oh, wow, she was pretty cool. Yeah. You may think that person sucks. It's not going to help you in that respect. But just be open and be present and talk. And if you laugh and you have a great time, keep it rolling. If you're having a miserable time, go to the bathroom, pay the check, and then bail on them.
Yes. I've done that before. Also, can I just say, I'm totally
I hate you. I don't even talk to you anymore.
You really are very funny.
This is the last episode of Bear With Us.
No, you guys, he's so funny. And I just like to give him.
I'm like John Taffer. Shut it down.
You're so funny.
No, now you're patronizing me. No.
Let me say this, right?
You almost stabbed me in the eye with your nail.
The other night you were being very silly, like just saying like silly things. And I told you, I said, I love when you let your guard down, like, cause you're funny and like, we always have a good time no matter what we're doing. But when you really let your guard down and you're just like being so stupid and saying silly, and I feel like that's wants to come out of you more often, but sometimes you don't let it because you're a little pitch black or something.
Oh, you mean the phrase that I've given myself to live up to?
So you feel like you can't necessarily be like that all the time. But when you do get silly, like, it's my favorite thing about you. We always have so much fun.
Well, that's your reward for living with me. You get to see that side of me from time to time.
I know, my little ray of gray. That's you. For me, you're gray. You're not pitch black.
I'll take it.
My little ray of gray. Let's put that on a t-shirt. Anywho, there I go again with the anywhos. Question number any two.
I guess I can't be funny when you are just a walking knee slapping.
No, because I'm not fucking funny. I don't think I'm funny. I'm stupid and immature. Question number two, honey. Hi guys, I have a question about taking on financial obligations due to your boyfriend's family. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years and things are generally great. My biggest concern is that I'm trying to save and get out of debt, but my boyfriend's family loves to celebrate every occasion. Every birthday, most holidays, gifts are expected and there's always a lunch or dinner at a restaurant. The problem is they have really expensive tastes in presents and restaurants. Their income is a significant amount more than mine, and I'm struggling to balance spending hundreds of dollars on them and focusing on my financial goals. We're both in our late 20s, but my boyfriend still relies on his family for some financial support, so it doesn't affect him the way it affects me. I'm not sure if I sound stingy or selfish, or if I should speak up and say I can't contribute to the same level as them every time. Would really love to know if you guys have any advice for me. Thanks.
I think it's probably not an uncommon situation. Yeah. Finances are one of the biggest causes of divorce in the world. I mean, people fight and argue over money. Leah and I, full disclosure, still keep everything 100% separate.
Everything. And it will stay that way, yeah, I think, forever.
I agree. But from my perspective, this is a conversation you need to have with your boyfriend. And it doesn't have to be negative or sad. You're doing a very admirable thing, trying to get your stuff in order. As a guy who's had his share of issues in the past regarding that, you don't want to let it get out of control. It's definitely an important part of life that can easily get screwed up if you're not careful. So good on you for trying to get yourself set up in a secure financial situation, but have the conversation. And may there be times where you sit one out and you go, hey, babe, I can't afford to go on vacation right now. Or I can't. Your partner, your boyfriend should hopefully understand. Maybe he says, okay, cool. I'll help you out a little bit. Or maybe he goes, all right, that's fine. I understand that. Because what you're doing is not selfish or stingy. It's actually very smart. It's very mature. And I think it should actually be commended as opposed to being a hurdle or an issue in a relationship. If you guys are getting along great and it sounds like you have a pretty strong relationship, save for that, have the conversation. I would be willing to bet you're probably going to be pleasantly surprised with his response, because I know if we were in that situation, I would happily say, hey, cool, let's figure this out. I'll help you, or how can we make this work? But you got to talk first.
Communication, 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 communication. You have to talk. If you don't have an open line of communication in your relationship, then you're not going to have a successful relationship. And to Matt's point, like if you talk to him and he is like weird about it, then that's kind of a red flag. Maybe you shouldn't be with someone that's not understanding of your financial obligations and the fact that you're trying to be very smart with your money. I remember I was in a relationship with a guy once, and he was staying at my place all the time. So he was using my, and this is when I was broke. I didn't have much money. He's using my laundry detergent, my toilet paper, eating my food, all of this stuff. And it got to the point where I was just like, if I had the financial means to not worry about it, then I wouldn't have said anything. But it got to a point where I was like, hey, we need to like have a talk. You're here. You have your own place, yet you're using all of my shit. And I can't afford to be buying this for two people.
Right.
And he had just had no, it was oblivious to it. He was like, right. Oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about it. And he like stocked up my stuff. So like, if you don't have the conversation about it, he's not going to know. But I do think you need to do the right thing when it comes to your finances. You can get money back. Like, you need to be really good with your money. Save your money, do what you have to do, get yourself out of debt, and then start stocking up for the future. I'm such a big advocate for saving, saving, saving. And if you're going to be spending all your money on dinners and presents for however many cousins, aunts, uncles he has, that's not okay. A nice little card, that's one thing. Maybe make them a gift or something once in a while. But you have to think about yourself, and it is not selfish to do that.
And this isn't a problem that necessarily is limited to a certain situation or financial status or financial level, because we have this same discussion about Christmas time.
Yeah.
Between your family, my kids, we were buying gifts for 40 something people. Yeah, and we finally said, you know what? No, we're going to figure out a lottery.
Yeah, or whatever. Like a Yankee swap. And I said
what?
A Yankee swap.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
You've never heard a Yankee swap? Like where you put in a name and you pick a name, or you put in a number and you pick out, you just like bring a gift.
Yeah, it feels like another name for that, but it's not. I've never heard it called a Yankee swap.
I'm pretty, maybe it's a New England thing. I don't know. Maybe someone can listen and can tell me.
Well, if it's in New England, it's probably a bad thing.
Off.
Well, if you call it a Yankee swap, you're not a big fan. Never mind.
Okay, but no, but so to this point, I think I brought that up to you. I was like, hey, like maybe we suggest doing something like this instead. And then you suggested it to your mom and she was like, yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, cause no one wanted to bring it up, cause everyone was like, oh sure. Of course we're going to buy everyone presents. And then when Matt finally said something to his mom, she's like, oh yeah, this is such a good idea. And your sister's brother, everyone was like, thank God, you know, because what if he didn't say anything?
Right.
We'd be buying everyone presents
we all would have been stressed out. Yes. Every year. Our beloved producer Emilio just sent me a text and smartened me up that it's a freaking secret Santa.
No. Okay. Or you can do a Yankee swap. I'm telling you, a Yankee swap. I used to do that.
Yankee
all the
swap
time.
Sounds like a rap dance.
Here's what a Yankee swap is. Let me tell you real quick. Everyone brings a present.
Yeah.
Puts it under the tree. And then everyone goes and picks out a number. Say there's 10 of us. You pick a number out of a hat. So say I'm number one. Number one, I get to pick any present I want. I pick it, I unwrap it. cool. Whoever has number two, they go pick a present and they say, I think I like number one's present better. So they go
pick
number
one's present. Oh, that sucks. They did that on The Office.
Yeah, and then whoever has number 10, I think it's whoever has number one is actually the best one because then they get to go at the very end. And it's funny. You kind of f- with people. Some people buy like funny presents. I think it's fun.
I think that sounds like a great way to start an inter-family war.
Oh my God, it's
Yankee
fun.
But swap. Secret Santa. Stay away from Yankee swap. But yeah, but have the conversation with your...
Like we're talking about this in July.
I'm going to go watch Elf when this is over.
Can we?
No. I am going to... back to our listener who asked for advice. Yes. Just reiterate. Yeah, have the conversation. I have a feeling it's not... the breaking the ice is going to be far more intimidating than actually solving the problem.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to bet it's going to be cool and you guys will figure something out and you'll make it work. That's just kind of how life works. But you can't make it work if you don't communicate.
You have time for one more or you think we're good?
Yeah, let's do one more.
One more. Okay.
While Leah is digging through the mailbag, I'm going to remind you that wherever you are listening to Bear With Us, subscribe, like, leave comments, leave ratings, throw stars our way. It helps spread the word. Tell a friend. I was very excited that I got a tweet from a very high profile person that I am a fan of regarding Cher? This podcast, not Cher, actually almost the polar opposite of Cher. One Ricky Rackman, who is infamous for being a host of the Headbangers Ball on MTV, me being the metalhead in the crew. He checked out our podcast on YouTube.
You're kidding.
I swear to God. And he commented and he tweeted at me and
hey,
he
Ricky.
Was, well, look, stop. But Ricky was very fascinated by all of my Lemmy art in the background.
I love that.
So I'm just taking full credit. I mean, he never said he liked it or not, or if it was good. Right, he just said he saw it. He saw the Lemmy stuff. Okay. So shout out to Ricky Rackman. There we go.
Question number three, honey. Okay, this person wrote into us before, and she said that we came in clutch, and she hopes that we can come in clutch again. She said, I took your advice about spicing things up in the bedroom, and I think I might have bit off more than I can chew. Uh-oh. My man wanted to try this new thing on his receiving end of things. We tried it, and he seems to get the most pleasure from this. However, it makes me a bit uncomfortable and honestly freaked out. I don't want to get into specifics, but it's a literal shit show. He brings it up from time to time about how he wants it, and I just don't know what to say. This has really affected our sex life, and now I don't feel turned on around him after I've seen more than I bargained for. We haven't had sex, nor have I felt comfortable having sex after doing this new thing. I don't want to make him feel embarrassed or anything about my feelings towards it, but I just can't keep doing it anymore. I want to be able to pleasure my man, but this is putting a strain on our sex life. Do you guys have any advice?
I hate to say I told you so, but there's a reason why this has been a long-running gag on Bear With Us and will continue to be a long-running gag on Bear With Us, because I am petrified of something like what you just described. I am worried about the potential for disaster, which has turned you off from that activity and negatively affected your entire sex life. All the way back to the beginning of this podcast, when we started talking about major turnoffs, and you know, and you still to this day make fun of me, I will not go to the bathroom in front of you. I don't care to be present when you are going to the bathroom, because there needs to be some level of secrecy. That is a private thing. I know it happens. Everybody does it. I don't want to know about it. I think you're going to look at someone a little bit differently.
It's not like I want to watch you go to the bathroom, because like that is gross. But to me, when you're in the bedroom and it's going down, like it's a little bit different. Like to me, all bets are off. And I feel like if this is something that really satisfies your partner, like why not do it? I think it's like hot. I just think
Not turned on though. That's what she's saying. Right,
I think she's looking at it different. Like if she can look at it a different way, like instead of looking like, oh my God, this is really grossing me out. Maybe it's like, oh my God, like I didn't even look at how much he's enjoying or how much pleasure he's getting out of it. And maybe there's something that he's doing that she enjoys that he doesn't get that much pleasure out of. Sometimes in the bedroom, you got to like,
There's definitely some give and take. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to go, oh, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of this, but he loves it, or
so
vice versa.
Do it.
And if there's something that you want reciprocated that maybe you have been afraid to bring forward, bring it up. Have a conversation. Talk about it. It might be intimidating. It might be weird. It might be a little uncomfortable, but once you break the ice, it's cool. As for this thing, from my perspective, you tried it. So good on you. Right. You gave him the respect of, hey, you're into that thing. I'll let you give it a whirl.
I'm going to cut you off because that's what I do. Maybe try it a little differently. Maybe turn the lights off. Maybe use something else that maybe, I don't know the exact details of what you're doing, but there's different ways you can go about it. Maybe try some different options. Maybe talk to him about like, hey, you like this? What if we tried this instead? Maybe give him an alternative. So it's not so explosive, pun intended. But there's different options. Like when it comes to sex, I just feel like there's so many different ways you can go about things. This isn't like, this is the one thing he likes. He needs it like this and you got to do it. Try different things, try it a different way. And I guarantee, you know, to know that you're pleasuring your man, like that's going to give you some sort of satisfaction. And there's definitely different ways to go about it. Google it.
There you have it. Anything goes.
I mean, you got to have good, to me, you have to have good sex life. If your sex isn't good, like your relationship's going to be off. So I do feel like if he's like, oh my God, like my girl is really going above and beyond and make sure I'm taken care of. Like I want to go above and beyond for her.
Yeah, maybe just
not
do
even
some,
in the bedroom, maybe like, and he's like, oh, she did this for me. Well, I'm going to go do this for her.
And I guess upon further thought, Google is amazing. If you want to learn how to do something properly,
yes.
Maybe he did love it and it was the most awesome thing he's ever experienced and it freaked you out, but maybe there was like a step you guys missed,
right?
Or a process
or another option, alternative to it.
I'm not even saying alternative options. I'm saying like, I mean, porn is a thing and it happens and that's not always the case. There's like products. I'm not trying to get
or maybe it was
down.
Like the wrong time of day. Maybe he just ate a burrito. We don't know. Like why? Stuff
why every time I try to get back on the tracks, you just derail the train.
I'm just saying it's true. Maybe like I'm saying in addition or in conjunction with what you're saying, like there's different ways to go about it. And like Matt's saying, maybe find a tutorial on YouTube. I don't know. Or on Google.
Red tube.
I don't know. What do you think?
Goodbye forever.
You're with us.
Are you attempting to become Cher?